This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
You are listening to Tom's Hirschsprung's podcast, where I provide a look into the remarkable experiences of the most inspiring people around Hirschsprung's disease and sport. Welcome to episode 5 of Tom's Hirschsprung's podcast. Today I am joined by Dr. Carla Scaramella, who is the director of Hirschsprung's Argentina and also the third part of the trio that co-founded this podcast along with last week's guest, Louisa Shapter. Welcome, Carla, to the podcast.
Thank you, Tom, for inviting me to this podcast. I'm very honored to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. So just before we go into Hirschsprung's Argentina and the great work that you do all across South America, I just wanted to talk to the listeners about who you are and what you do and your background. Upon sort of reading your LinkedIn page, it says you have 20 years or nearly 20 years in clinical research, and that's all across South America, Argentina, Chile, Peru, and Colombia. What made you want to go into clinical research?
Well, first of all, my background, it's also, I'm a pharmacist. So I am very keen on the innovative medicines that make people a better health. So I wanted to work on research and development since I was in my last years of my career. So that's why I look for it. And I've been working for this since like 2007 now.
So yes, 15, 16 years? 16 years.
Yeah, 16. However, years. Tom, let me clarify for the audience that regardless I work in clinical research, it's not like so related to my work in the Hirschsprung group, right? It's like something else. It is related because I put all my background in the work I do in some way, but it's not like I don't mix all that together. You know, it helps me, but it's separate lines, right?
Definitely, yes, definitely. So we will move swiftly on to the Hirschsprung's Argentina. And you are the founder of Hirschsprung's Argentina. That was set up in October 2022. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, correct.
So what made you want to start up the foundation?
Well, the aim of the group was to provide information of quality the families, and this was related to my personal history because my son Augusto passed away at 1 year and 1 month old in 2014 due to an undiagnosed enterocolitis, which I over the years I learned that it was a quite common event and complication for Hirschsprung patients. And well, I at first I started to think how could I help people and families in this way to let to know, to understand that this was an event that they have to pay attention to, and also to cascade to healthcare professionals in any emergency room, for example. So that was my first approach to help, like building something to prevent this event that it's mortal. So in that way, I went to the center of reference of my country, with this the Hospital Garraham here, and I built together with them an alert card that is designed for patients and families to go to any emergency room and have all the step-by-step to manage this enterocolitis event, how they should manage this event. Because the thing is that enterocolitis is often very confused with a common diarrhea, but our patients, it's not a common diarrhea. They have to suspect enterocolitis. So in that sense, I started my group with this objective. This was like short steps, you know. First, I started with this. Then some families, I came across several families, and I had the aim and the objective to found the group and do something greater and better for the families, you know.
Definitely, definitely. Well, it seems to be very much working from the especially from the Instagram stories that you share on, and just so you know where to find Hirschsprungs Argentina, it's at Hirschsprungs_Argentina on Instagram. And there are some fantastic and fascinating stories on there. I was reading a few just through this week, stories that I, or conditions that I haven't come across a great deal. And I know we were talking, well, I have talked previously about conditions associated with Hirschsprung's disease, enterocolitis obviously being one, but Hirschsprung's has had links to conditions such as autism and Crohn's. And there was one other that we were talking about before that that's completely gone out of my head. Can you remember?
Yeah, inflammatory bowel disease.
That's the one. That's the one. So Hirschsprung's as a condition doesn't necessarily only if you have Hirschsprung's doesn't necessarily mean that you only just have Hirschsprung's. It can be linked and has shown links to other conditions as well. But I want to talk, if that's okay, just more about the charity, because you have done, in a relatively short space of time, you have done an awful lot of work with the charity. What's one of the things that you're most proud of?
Wow. The group that we created, we have a very big group throughout Latin America for more than 50 families that are involved. So I've started the group. I say that I've started the group, but the moms and dads did the rest, you know, because I was like kind of a link between them, but they are the ones who give words of challenge and words of support to each other. So I'm very proud of that, like, chain of good intentions to each other, and all the empathy it's created towards this group. So that's very good. I am very proud of creating this and of this taking the best of each person, you know, because all the moms and dads there want to help each other.
That's fantastic. Yeah, no, absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure we're looking to create something very similar over here as well. We've been talking recently about setting something up in this country as well. And if we can have, you know, any kind of the success that you've had across South America, that would be fantastic. You talked as well about see what you're proud of, what you're really pleased with the charity. Looking into the future, where do you see the charity heading? Would it be sort of more of the same, just getting more people in and more people talking about Hirschsprungs, or is there a specific goal in mind?
Yeah, very good question. My specific goal for the future, now that the group is built, everyone or mostly everyone knows that we are there and they can join whenever they want. So it's like that's moving forward, moving. I mean, my goal for next year would be to do some kind of event to make specialists aware, more aware of this condition, but because there are still a lot of challenges in the diagnosis, at least speaking about Latin America, mainly in Argentina, because I work very close with our other charity organizations from all Latin America, in Chile, in Colombia, in Mexico. There are a lot, there's another like founder of another group that does pretty much the same that I do here. So I don't get involved in all the stuff of those countries, but we work together. But speaking about Argentina specifically, we foresee a lot of challenges in the diagnosis, in the biopsy, and that biopsy has to be taken by qualified surgeons, and because sometimes the biopsy is not as good as surgeons would like to be, and the pathologists don't like the biopsy. So there's a lot going on there, and there's a lot to improve or to make aware for healthcare providers, surgeons, pediatricians in general that are not very aware and familiar with the condition. Now, we speak with surgeons and they are very aware, but when we speak with other pediatricians, they are not so much aware of this condition. And the same happens with pediatric nurses. We would like to do an event to make them aware of how colostomies and ileostomies are managed, because there's a lot to do there in that aspect. So
Definitely.
basically, that is our aim for the next years. Awareness towards healthcare providers.
Definitely. Fantastic. No, that sounds very, very worthwhile. And just on the Instagram page, as you said, Hirschsprung underscore Argentina, a lot of the posts, if not, I think all the posts are in Spanish. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, you are correct.
But you can, just again, most people might already know this. It might just be me finding stuff out on my own. But if you do click on any of the posts, and you can just click "See translation," and it will translate it to your nation's language. So if you, like me, don't know a great deal of Spanish, can't read Spanish, can't speak Spanish, then don't be afraid of that. Just click the "See translation," and you'll be able to see all of the posts on there. And moving on to that, you are of course bilingual as well, so you can speak Spanish and English. And you have done, which is another thing I want to touch on, your seminars that you have done that we've spoken about previously to do with Hirschsprungs. They're in Spanish, is that correct?
Yeah, we work in Spanish mainly, and also we are aware that there's a big organization in the US that does some similar work. I'm not sure if they also do seminars in the web, like virtual, but that's why mainly I do it in Spanish, and mainly here the all the seminars we provide, most of them were leaded by surgeons, GIs, pediatricians, nurses. So, despite I speak English not so well, but I speak, we don't have I cannot, I don't feel comfortable with asking a healthcare provider here to speak in English, you know? That's why we are so far working in Spanish, but maybe we can do something else. What do you suggest?
Well, I was just going to say, I think your English is absolutely great. I saw that you, because you do have a qualification in English from Cambridge University, is that correct?
Yes.
So exactly. Yeah, exactly. So your English is absolutely fine.
Thank you.
But another part that I did want to touch on is your involvement in a day that's coming up fairly soon at the end of this month, in Rare Disease Day. Usually takes place on the 28th of February on a non-leap year, but this year being a leap year takes place on the 29th. What if anything, it was created in 2008, what if anything are you doing as a charity for Rare Disease Day?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We are planning for that date an event. It's a local event and virtual that it's been done together with a psychologist from the group, which is also a mom of a Hirschsprung disease patient, that it's intended for moms and families, for the school involvement and inclusion at school. And we prepare a lot of materials for families to have and to lead all the interactions with all the school members and with all families that are the companions of the team groups for the school for our patients, you know. That would be our event for that date.
Fantastic. And where can people find, because it's a virtual, as you said, where can people find this?
The event is virtual. It would be transmitted through Zoom, and it's free. It's free, and it would be in Spanish, and they can find it both in our Instagram page. We have all the data about this. And also, it is posted in the Rare Disease Day page. So we have that visibility that a Rare Disease official gave us to publish that event also in the Rare Disease Day 2024 in their web.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Yes, I know that they, the people that run the Rare Disease Day website, Instagram, and all the social media do a fantastic job. And obviously this year is going to be, I don't know whether more special is potentially the word, but with Rare Disease Day falling on officially the 29th of February being a leap year, obviously it only comes around once every 4 years. So definitely a special one, definitely a special one this year. With regards to Hirschsprung's, I know we were talking before about other conditions associated with Hirschsprung's, and I want to talk as well about food allergies that we were talking a little bit just sort of before we started this. And what sort of, because you've done a little bit or seen a little bit of research in this, what have you found about food allergies in terms of Hirschsprungs, and what might be, I don't want to say a cause, but what might there be an association with food allergies and Hirschsprungs?
Yes, I see very frequently in the group that after the surgery, on the first month after surgery, most of the children are not allergy, but they don't have food allergy on that stage typically, but they are lactose intolerant. Most of them are lactose intolerant, so the milk and the food should be arranged in that sense to cover and to avoid any intolerance. Also, throughout the years, and it's all case by case, you know, every child with Hirschsprung is very different from each other. Some have a great living and they don't have any event or any intolerance, and others throughout the years start struggling with food allergies, for example, or food intolerances. So my approach, or my approach, because I'm not a physician, but my recommendation for families is to lead the interactions between the surgeons and the gastroenterologist and the nutritionist. They have to build a group of specialists that are very aware and familiar of Hirschsprung. They should gather information, updated information. There are a lot of publications of NAPSCAN, and there's a lot to read on these days in this aspect. So the group that treats our children should be very engaged in reading and finding the best approach for these children, and also to take into account that there's a lot of immunomediated reactions in the food, and it is currently being discovered that Hirschsprung has a lot of immunomediated microbiome issues that has to be considered when we build a treatment, or when we try to find if there's something else rather than, okay, he's intolerant or he's has a food allergy because of Hirschsprung. No, we have to see if something else is going on, if there's another comorbidity that we are not thinking about. That would be my recommendation. I don't know if it's clear enough or it's too long.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just find a lot of this fascinating, really, because when I was going through the very early stages of Hirschsprungs, we're talking sort of 30 years ago, when things like food allergies were never really discussed. The internet wasn't really a thing, so you couldn't find a lot of this stuff out. So I just, and that's why I'm so grateful to be able to speak with you and speak with several other people, so that we can share experiences and also know a lot more. And there is a lot of research still going into Hirschsprungs. The piece that we talked about with just off air a few moments ago, there was a piece of research done in April 2023. So there's still a lot of research going into Hirschsprungs at a very high level. So yeah, no, I'm incredibly grateful for all of that, and obviously for all the work that you do in publicizing as well. And I want to talk as well on and sort of jumping around a bit, but jumping back towards the Instagram page, the Hirschsprungs Argentina Instagram page. And there are a lot of really fascinating stories on there. quite, there's a lot of uplifting stories, a lot of people who've overcome a lot, but there's a lot from a medical point of view as well. Do those stories come from your group, or do people send them to you? How does that work?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yes, typically the moms and dads that are in our WhatsApp group that at first joined because they found the group through Instagram, they offer to share their story. I have they come from different sources. You know, I have a very nice story for a family which is not from the group, and actually I know them because they provided their story, but they are not actually part of the WhatsApp, of the mom's WhatsApp chat. And this story came through a gastroenterologist who is treating one of the boys on she's treating the boy, and she told me, she wrote to me and told me, oh, what a nice work you do. I have a patient of my usual practice that is been recovering from Hirschsprung. He's very well now. He has been operated. So I can touch base with her mom and find out if she would like to share her story. So that's how this story came to me, and they even managed to send a video. So it was very nice to have that also. So different sources.
That's fantastic. That's really, really good. And again, I encourage people really to read some of those stories, because they are fascinating from a medical point of view. Several stories that I've read on there. Conditions that I didn't know were associated with Hirschsprung's necessarily, but I do encourage people to go and seek those out, because it can be with it being a rare condition, it can feel potentially quite isolating, I would imagine, if you have a child with Hirschsprung's. So definitely. Feel free to join as many Hirschsprung's groups as possible. I know you've done a little bit of work with Hirschsprung's in Australia, and have shared a little bit with the Facebook group there. So definitely, yes, definitely seek those out. Definitely well worth your time. I want to talk also about your story that you've written about. There's a really good LinkedIn post in February 2021 where you write all about how and why you got into Hirschsprung's, kind of like you've explained today. And I would suggest for people that want to know more, to seek that out as well. It is on LinkedIn. It's on your LinkedIn page, I believe. And it's raising Hirschsprung's disease awareness through your story, dated February 2021. What would you say has been, I know we talked about the proudest moment, but what would you say is the most sort of gratifying moment of running the charity? What gives you sort of the most pleasure?
The most or the least pleasure? Sorry.
Most.
No, because we did have some sad moments, you know. It's tough. I am very grateful, and I have to mention this, Tom. In November 2023, I met Luciana. Luciana, it's for a friend group now. It's like a sister group of ours that it's the anorectal malformation group, which you can find a lot of publications that we shared because we also share a lot of challenges on both conditions. So that's why we sometimes share the content, you know. Anorectal malformation, it's also diagnosed when you are born. And also families struggle with colostomies. So we found each other through the web as well. And we speak to each other and it was like magic, you know, because she's so enthusiastic to work for the patients and she has no egos. She wants to work and do the best for patients, as me. So we work very well together in raising awareness and raise our potential together. So this is great because we share a lot of challenges and also the surgeons involved in the treatment of both conditions are the same. So there's a lot of synergy there to work together. So that's a very nice thing that I like to share, a highlight from last year.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned some of the challenges as well. Are there any specific challenges that stand out through running a charity? Any of the difficulties, if someone was to, for example, start running their own charity, what advice would you give them?
Okay, that you cannot handle all. You have to be very organized. And, you know, many people like kind of seem to get involved and tell, oh, yeah, why? How nice. That's beautiful. But then at the end of the day, you cannot do progress. And with all the people that at the first sight, they raise their hands. So you have to be very careful on all the things on which you get involved and on which you don't, because you won't be able to finish all what you start. And to select very careful which would be the people that you like to interact and move forward with some special needs or not, because you cannot do everything. I don't know if I'm being clear about
Yeah.
that.
No, definitely. That makes absolute sense. That I think sometimes delegation is really, really important, but it's making sure you delegate to the right people, and the people that are going to do the best. I know we've spoken briefly as well about what's next for the charity. I want to talk also about what's next for you, personally, professionally. What do you see? Do you see more of the trying to build up the charity, or are there other aspects that you want to still achieve in your career?
I'm very comfortable with what I have achieved in my career. Of course, I'm always open to new challenges in my career. So I'm always seeking new challenges. But now it's like it moves my heart, you know, the charity and the Hirschsprung group moves my heart. So that's kind of my priority on these days, apart from all my stuff, you know, family, friends, and my job, of course, because at the end of the day, I have to have all that in order to be effective in the charity group.
Fantastic. Yes. No, very, very busy. Very busy, I would imagine. But yes, no, that sounds absolutely fantastic. And yeah, I'd just like to say as well on behalf of myself that I'm very, very pleased to have you in our small trio between you, me, and Louisa. It's been absolutely fantastic meeting both of you, talking through different ideas that we have, and we have plenty as well, hopefully coming up in the near future, starting off with some various other podcast episodes that we have, and hopefully we can share those with you in the fullness of time. But yes, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, Tom, I'm also very grateful of knowing you. It's always very nice to know elder people, adults, young adults as you, that are involved with Hirschsprung. So I'm very grateful as well to meet you both.
I like how you called me young. I'll take that.
Yeah, you are young.
I'll take young. I'll take that. Thank you ever so much. Thank you very much, Carla.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Find us on Instagram at @Tom's_Hirschsprungs_podcast. Listen to previous episodes on Spotify by searching Tom's Hirschsprungs Podcast.